tam into the water. So the nosen tam into the water makes chaticha nas nevela, but that's what the Chabad Das is emphasizing over here. Chaticha nas nevela b'shari sumin doesn't mean that hetan nepach liyos sisa. Just a din in calculating shishim. So halacha, you have to calculate shishim against the whole carrier of the yisur. It's not that all the water becomes basa b'cholam. When you use the water as shampoo, you use the water, you wash your hair, you're getting hanor from the ashes and from the water. You're not getting hanor from the basa b'cholam. When the behemah drinks it, that was the Ramah before, when the behemah drinks it, so he assumes that I'm getting hanor from the basa b'chol. How am I getting hanor? The behemah gets hanor from the basa b'chol. Behemah mistam enjoys better drinking water that has a flavor of basa b'chol in it than drinking water that has no flavor at all. How am I getting hanor? The behemah is not Jewish. It's not if neivah l'sitim michshi. You're allowed to let the behemah eat basa b'chol. Well, I'm getting hanor from basa b'chol because my behemah gets hanor from basa b'chol. How is that? Is that a violation of isuri hanor? In Hilchas Pesach, the Mechaba quotes a Yerushalmi, also lahachol chametz lebehemas hefker. You're not allowed to feed chametz to behemah, even though it doesn't belong to you. Let's say if I have a behemah and I have to give it breakfast, lunch, and supper in order that it should function, my dog, my cat, my cows, whatever. And one fine day, I see chametz in the street, and I encourage my behemoth to eat the chametz. So that's called getting hanor from chametz b'pesach. So I'm not allowed to get hanor from chametz b'pesach. Like if I walk by the bakery and I enjoy the smell of freshly baked bread, so it's in Shulchan Aruch on Pesach, you're not allowed to walk by the bakery intending in advance to have hanor from the smell of the chametz, because chametz b'pesach is also hanor. That I understand. But over here, what's let's say lahachal behemas hefker chometz. Why is that an issa? So there's a machlekes achreidim over there, and that's if in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach. What is Yerushalmi? It's a Yerushalmi, and the Bavli doesn't say. So some achreidim say it's only a special din in chometz. It doesn't apply to any other isuri hano because it says alosh and apasik in one place says lo se yochel. Yeah, you're not allowed to cause that the chometz should be eaten by anyone. A new din only by chametz doesn't apply to other isurim. And other achrayim disagree there, and they say no, that's a din in all isurim hanor. If you feed isurim hanor to behemas hefker, so that's a violation of getting hanor. Even though I'm not getting hanor, the behemah is enjoying it. So how is that my violation? It's not by behemas. It's a strange shita. So what's over here that the Ramah says over here? If you mix together the burning hot water that you wash the fleshig dishes with, and the burning hot water that you wash the milchik dishes with, and that can yet become basa b'chalav deraisa. I say that's a shach yutes. That may have become basa b'chalav deraisa. You say, not allowed to feed it to your behemah. How are you getting hanor? See, if you hold like those achreinim, then whenever you feed isuri hanor to any behemah's hefker, it's a violation of isuri hanor. You're not allowed to cause anyone to get hanor from isuri hanor. Okay? So that's what the Ramah is talking about. But if you hold like the other achreinim, that's the pashtus, that the only time it's an issa is only by chametz, because the pasuk says lo se yochel chametz. The Gemara talks about the lo se yochel. The Bavli talks about lo se yochel. The Bavli has a whole machlekes amaroyim. There is a machlekes atanai where the chametz b'pesach is asa b'ano. So one Tana, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, says tamei al atzmecha. He disagrees with all the other Tanaim. How can you say such a thing that chametz b'pesach is asa b'ano? Never heard of such a thing. He's not gerus that. Because Aglili says chametz bePesach is muta b'hanor, so we don't accept his opinion. We pass chametz bePesach is also b'hanor. So the Gemara asks, so what's taka the mocker? I didn't know the chametz bePesach is also b'hanor. The Chumash only says that it's also b'achilah. So the Gemara has a machlok. It's Chizkiah v'Rababo. So Chizkiah says because it says lo se yochel, so what kind of a funny lashon is that? Should say lo se achelu. The fact that it says lo se yochel, that's the construction of that verb. Is a hint, is a remez that it's also b'hanor, and we don't pasken like Chizkiah. We pasken like Rabbi Bo. Kol mokem shenem b'leyochel l'sochlo l'sochlo echad isra achila v'echad isra hanor b'mashma ashifach loch hakosav k'del shepard lochot b'nevela. That's Gemara in the second parak of Pesachim. So we pasken like Rabbi Bo that the isra hanor is not because it says lo se yochel. If it would have said lo sochlo chametz, it would have also been also b'hanor. So why does it taka say lo se yochel? Why is it in such a funny construction? So the Talmud Yerushalmi fills in the missing line and says, no, lo se yochel comes to teach me you're not allowed to feed chametz to behemoth efker. So if you hold that it means by all Isari Hanoi, you're not allowed to feed the Behemoth Hefker, even though you personally are not getting Hanoi, that's also a violation of Isari Hanoi. You're not allowed to cause that any human being, so you're not allowed to feed Chomets to a Goy either on Pesach. You're not allowed to feed to a Behemoth Hefker, you're not allowed to feed to a Goy either. That's a problem. Let's say you have nurses in a hospital, and it's their job to serve meals to the patients. And if they don't serve the meals, they don't get paid their salary. If they're nurses and they're serving a meal as a toiva, but it's not really part of their responsibility, so they're not really salaried for serving the meals. He was speaking about Isari HaNoah. There's a Gemara at the beginning of the fifth parak in Avodah Zarah. There are five prokem in Avodah Zarah. Beginning of the last parak says, if I'm a truck driver and I deliver Yayin Nesach and I get paid for delivering Yayin Nesach, so I'm not allowed to get paid. That's called a violation of Isari HaNoah. And the same thing if I deliver basam b'cholav, if I deliver something that's osamana, I deliver ora, I deliver klai akerim, so you're not allowed to get salaried to do a pu'ula with Isari HaNoah. So if it's the nurse's responsibility to serve food to the patients, very often it is. That's part of their job. And if they don't do the whole job, they don't get paid the salary. So they get paid the salary for giving Isari HaNoah to the goyish patients on Pesach, to give chametz to the goyish patients on Pesach. So that's mamish getting hanor. What if they're nurses in the hospital? They do it as a taiva. It's not really part of their job. A goyish patient asks, can you please give me a loaf of bread? So she says, fine, I'll get you a loaf of bread. So would that be osur or not? So that's like feeding chametz to behemoth hefker. If you're not allowed to feed chametz to behemoth hefker, so you're not allowed to feed chametz to a nochri in the hospital either. So that's the shaila. Is that only a din in chametz, or is it a din in all Isari HaNoah? What about basa b'chol? So if you say that it's a din in all Isari HaNoah, so that's what the Rambam was talking about. You're not allowed to feed the basa b'chol of the raisa to your behemoth, even though you're not getting HaNoah. You're not allowed to be mahana any human being or any behemoth from Isari HaNoah. But if you hold that it's only a din in chametz, it doesn't apply in kol ha-tarkula. So what is the Rambam talking about? What's wrong if you feed the basa b'chol of dika water to your behemoth? So you have to say, like we said last week, if my behemoth will be in a happier mood, so it's going to do better work for me. So if I would just feed water to my behemoth, it'll do its work. If I feed water that has a gishmak of flavor, a basa b'chol of in it, so the behemoth will even do the work with a smile. I don't know, what's the behemoth? If you have human beings, if you have workers, if you give them a full meal, and you give them dessert also, so mistama, they'll do a better job. The behemoth is also going to do a better job. Maybe? Okay.
If I wouldn't give him that water, I
would have to give him another water. Oh, so the shaila is, but the water is water. H2O is not basa b'chol. Water is water. So, no, bas, the water has a tam, has an asinus tam of the basa b'chol. So we say, chaticha atzma nas nevel. Chaticha atzma nas nevel, there are two kinds. Chaticha chanan, we'll call b'kitza chanan. So chaticha nas nevel, b'basa b'chol, when the basa b'chol join, that becomes basa b'chol. When basa b'chol gives a tam into water, that's chanan b'shari surim, alfi pasha. That's the shach later quotes, Amachloikis, that Beis Yosef says, Beis Yosef paskens like Rabbein Ephraim, like Rov HaRishonim. He only says, Chaticha Nasnevela Bebasa Becholav, doesn't apply to Sharisu. The Ramo is Machma like the Rabbein Ephraim, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramo. The Chaticha Nasnevela even applies to Sharisu. So the Shad is according to the Mechaber, who paskens that you only say, Chaticha Nasnevela Bebasa Becholav, Bisharisu, it doesn't apply. So what would you say if it's a Tama Basa Becholav into water? Is that Chanan Bebasa Becholav? That even the Mechaber has to hold from that? Or is that called Chanan Bishari Surim that the Mechaber doesn't hold from? So Rabbi Yosef Kar writes Beferish in the Beis Yosef that that's Chanan Bebasa Becholov. Basa Becholov into water is Chanan Bebasa Becholov, and he does believe in that. And the Shach says it doesn't make any sense. He says, Shach is an Ashkenazi, so he follows the Ramot. The Ramot says he says Chanan Bishari Surim also. But he says, if I would have been a Sfardi, and I would have held like Rabbi Yosef Kara, that you only say Chanan Bebasa Becholav, I would have not said Chanan Bebasa Becholav into water. And even though we do Paskan Chanan Misharisim, there's a big difference. Chanan Bebasa Becholav means Heta Nepach Liya Sisir. The Cholav and the Basa now become Basa Becholav. Chanan Misharisim is not the same. Chanan Misharisim, as Shach says, is only with the Rabbanon, it's not with the Chanan Bishari Surim, we had the din, the Mechaber quotes the opinion of Tosfos, A melech abalua midam, if you have salt that has a tam of dam in it, so all you need is shishim keneged the salt. I know how much dam there is. There's a spoonful of dam. And there's 10 spoons full of salt. So the din is that when you want to be mevatel adam, you have to have shishim keneged the whole volume of the salt. It's not sufficient shishim keneged the dam. Why? That's chanan b'shar yisurim. But it doesn't mean that the dam, it doesn't mean that the melech now has an isa dam. The melech doesn't have an isa dam. It's not hetan nebach li isa. Melech is abira l'tayma, so it's not bottled b'shishim. So that was a machlekes, the Rashbam in the Bali HaTesvis, Tesvis had a machlekes, if you have melech ha-belo midam, and now this melech falls into a pot of soup, and you have shishim keneged the volume of the melech, but the melech is still nice and tam. So the Rashbam said, once you declare chatich atzman asin nevela, the melech has an isa dam on it, and now dam is, the melech is avida l'tayma, so it's never going to be bottled. And we don't paskin like that, Rashbam. We paskin like the Shita HaTesvis in the Shulchan Aruch. Melech ha-belo midam, Chanan b'shari serim doesn't mean heta nepech liyasisa. It just means you have to calculate shishim keneged the whole chaticha. So once you have shishim keneged the whole volume of the melech, everything is mutter. So the shaila is here when you have basa b'chola into mayim. That's this ramah. You have basa b'chola mixed into mayim. So is that called chanan b'basa b'chola? That's the raisa? And heta nepech liyasisa? And the water has an isa basa b'chola? So the Shach said, that's ridiculous. How can water have an Isa Basa B'chalav? Basa B'chalav is only Chal on Basa and on Chalav. Water can never be like Melech. How can Melech have an Isa Dam? We pask Melech below me Dam. You say Chanan, the Rabbanon, Chanan B'shar Yisrim, the Rabbanon, that you need Shishim connected the volume of the Melech, but you don't say Chanan, that it's Heta Nepach Liyas Isir, that it's Avira L'taymus, so it's never bottled. So the same over here. There's the Chapela. What's the difference to me whether the behemoth, you say, I'm getting hanoah from the basa b'cholav. I'm getting hanoah from the water component, not from the basa b'cholav component. My hanoah is from the water.
Huh? The behemoth will get a little fatter when you shepherd.
Oh, so either you have to assume the behemoth is going to get fatter, or the behemoth is going to be in a happy mood, so it's going to be singing and dancing and hopping when it does its work, when it plows and when it carries, and it's going to be working better, or something. Or you have to say that Yerushalmi that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's osa lahachal behemas hefker chametz, applies not only to chametz bePesach, according to many achrayim, it applies to even all the suri hanor.
If we're talking about behemas hefker, talking about the nochel, we don't have a connection to. So what's, even if it's got to work, behemas hefker doesn't work for me.
Right, so that's a pella. How did Yerushalmi make such a din? So Shulchan Aruch quotes that Yerushalmi based on the pasuk lo yeyochel, lo yeyochel. So the achrayim there have a machlek. You see, look.
It has here basa b'cholav that says also by basa b'cholav, not just chametz.
Like those achrayim. Yeah. If you look there, the Nesivus has a sefer on Hilchos Pesach. What's it called? The Nesivus is sefer on Hilchos Pesach. Mekor Chaim. The Mekor Chaim. And then you have the Ha'oris and the Mekor Chaim on Hilchos Pesach is the Magen Ha'elef by, what's his name? The one who wrote 100 Svarim. No. The Tzuntz, V'heister, Rabbi Leib Tzuntz. Yeah, Rabbi Leib Tzuntz, he wrote 100 Svarim. So he has a Chibur on, so they have the Machlekes over there, they have this discussion, whether that's Sif in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach, that it's they quote the Yerushalmi, Mechaber quotes Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to feed the behemas hefker, chomis bepesach. Is it only chomis bepesach because of the loshon lo yeochel? Or it's a din in all the Surihano? So that's the shaila, how to read this Ramo. Okay. That's the shaila.
Am I allowed to have a catch in the loaf of bread? Is that the football?
You're not allowed to. You're getting hanoah from.
I'm doing what I want to do. I want to feed this animal, and I'm feeding him something that's also manure. Why is that different than I can catch with a loaf of bread?
Well, people play ball, then they have fun.
But this guy's feeding the animal. Nobody's forcing him to feed the animal. That's his hobby. He feeds the animal. And he's being nannered personally for months.
Okay, so that's the day in Achrayim, and that by all the Suri Hanor, it's awesome.
But you need the loisei, or maybe a shot the loisei.
Okay. That whenever he... Okay. That's how some Achrayim hold. And others insist that it's only a local din, Hilchos Pesach. when you're playing ball with a loaf of bread, so then you're getting hano. I enjoy playing ball, but here I have achmanis on the behemoth, so I feed it chametz.
It's the same enjoyment.
Okay.
Enjoy that better than that.
Okay, okay. That's a diyun and achrei. Okay. So again, on this, so that's the last thing we learned last week was the shach chof. So we had the two versions, whether the shach, the Chavis Das says, it's only Bas V'chol Rabban, who finished, that's the end of the poem. Bas V'chol Rabban is Mutar Banu. So Pasuk, there's nothing more to discuss. But the Shach doesn't say that. The Shach gives a whole explanation. That's what the Chavis Das gives a whole explanation. He says, no, the Shach is saying, even if it would have been Bas V'chol of Deraisa, but it's Bas V'chol of into the water. Bas V'chol of into the water. And when I use the water for Chafifas HaRosh, the fact that it has a Tam Bas V'chol of, is absolutely lo malo lo mer. I don't get any hanor from that. I'm only getting hanor from the water shibo. And you don't say chanan basa b'cholav into water. You don't say chanan heta nepach liyasisa. It's only a din in calculating the shishim. So bottom line, that's what the Chavis says. I'm not getting hanor from the basa b'cholav. And he gave a mashal from the Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah. If you have a Mishnah in the Gemara, if you have a sack of chitim, and the chit, and by mistake, a little yai nesach that's absolutely also bano. Yai nesach fell onto the chitim and it dried up, and the chitim have a tam of yai nesach. He said, I'm not allowed to get hano. So the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, sell it to a nochri. You have to make sure you sell it to a nochri, not going to resell it to a Jew. Otherwise, it's going to be lifnei, but this is the Mishnah. A Jew's going to buy it from the nochri. He'll think that it's a regular chitim, a regular flour, and the Jew will be eating yai nesach. So if you sell it to a nochri in such a way that you're sure that the nochri is not going to resell it to a Jew, so there's no issue of lifnei either. But then you sell it to a nochri, and you only charge the mechitim. You don't charge for the fact that it has an extra tam of yai nesach in it. So that says in the Mishnah Gemara that that's muta. Ay, but chanan bishari surim. So why don't you say that the chitim is het nepach liyasiser? So that's the Chavis Das's answer. No, because chanan bishari surim is not the same as chanan bebasa b'chol. Basa b'chol is het nepach liyasiser. He was just a din in calculating the shishim. That's how we hold. That's why the Shach writes that the whole din of chanan bishari surim is only the rabbanon. It's not really a din deraisa.
How does the Shach say that chanan is only the rabbanon?
Right, Rabbi Kivega pointed out that Tosis on Kufa Midbeis and Chulin, where he asked how do you kasher a kli ben yomo if you don't have shishim against it. So that Tosis is of the opinion Chanan Mishari Surim is the rice. But the Shach assumes that Rov Harishonim don't accept that. We pass on like the Shach. The
Chanan. Rov Harishonim Rov Gineh.
So that Rov Harishonim we don't accept. We accept the Rabbeinu Tam Schumer, but this far to say that Chanan Mishari Surim is the Raisa, that we don't accept. We accept all the Rishonim that the Shach quoted. That little Shach, the five-line Shach, he rattles off all the Rishonim one after the other. You know, Chanan Mishari Surim is only the Rabbanim. So whenever there's a suffix, this comes up halacha l'mais a lot, an industrial kashrus. A lot of times you'll have an ingredient that you buy from a company, you don't know whether it has any non-kosher ingredient in it. Maybe yeah, maybe no. There's no way of telling. But when I'm going to mix it into the new thing, how much non-kosher percentage can I have? 5%. And the whole ingredient is only 5% in the whole thing. So it's going to be bottle be'alef. By the time I'm going to mix in all the ingredients together, it's going to be bottle be'alef. So ein mevat anisa l'chatchila, we hold is only anisa d'rabbanim. We had a machlekes. Rashi, someone pointed out. Rashi and the Raivet holds that ein mevat anisa l'chatchila is a din d'raisa. We paskin like the Shach said, it's only the Rabbanon. So, Safik the Rabbanon l'kula. If I have an ingredient, I'm not sure if it's kosher or treif. But even if it's treif, it's going to be bottle b'shishim by the time I'm going to mix it in. So, we say that Eimavat and Isla Chatchila doesn't apply. It's not right for a kashrus organization to give a hashgacha like that. The OU or the Chavkei or whatever. The people are relying on this kashrus organization that they're checking into everything. If the people would know that's the way they give a hashgacha. The hashgach is based on the fact that it has all the products have non-kosher ingredients, but all the non-kosher ingredients have got a bottle of shishim. So that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Like one of the rabbanim said, they give hashgach based on the nesivim's chashem mishpat. The nesivim says that in isa de rabbanim, if a person violates an isa de rabbanim b'shogeg, he does need kapar, because it's only an isa gavra, it's not an isa chefze. An isa gavra, if you didn't violate it, amazing, so you don't need any kapar. So he says he can give a hechsher on a product, he knows that it has non-kosher ingredients. He knows that it's treif midirabban, but the customers don't know the secret. So as far as they're concerned, they can eat it. Whatever they don't know won't hurt them. And he puts his endorsement on, and he says that it's kosher. So the Pashto says he's certainly not allowed to do that. The endorsement means that the people can rest assured that everything is kosher. So the Pashto says, here also, even though there's no din of aim of atin, isal lechatrila, if I have an ingredient, I'm not sure if it's kosher or treif. But by the time I mix it into the product, it'll be bottled to shishim already. So strictly speaking, there's no din of aim of atin isal lechatrila, because it's suffering the rabbanon lekula. The whole din of aim of atin is only with the rabbanon. And if you're mesupik, if there's a treif, if there's anything treif, the suffix the rabbanon lekula, but you can't give a hechsher based on that. Hechsher means that you're checking into the oilam is assuming that this kashrus organization is checking into everything. They would not want to eat a product that you know that the rav amachshon knows that the non kosher ingredient was mixed in. Good, okay, that's if Kotnachov, that was important. So Kotnachov was very important. Yeah. What's the last two lines in that? Ramos Simon Pezayin Sif Vov. Ramos says, if you store your fleshig or your milchig pots and pans, frying pans, in the Tana Beis HaChoyref, so you have a problem. L'chatchila have a problem, but yevid we don't ask. But l'chatchila there's a problem. What's the problem? Because sometimes when you're frying fleshig and milchig, some of the schmaltz and some of the cheese, some of the milk is going to splash onto the other pots. So you're going to have a little schmaltz falls on the milchig pot, and a little cheese is going to fall on the fleshig pot. And the pots are stored in the place right near where you're cooking things. So the Ramah says, b'di'evid. Ain lochush, but if the balabasta thinks that everything is clean, she doesn't think that anything spritzed on the pots and pans, it's okay. But lachatchili should avoid it. So the Shach quotes on the Torah Chatos on this. The Shach of Kotn Chafalov, he says, look in the Torah Chatos, the Bigdei Rishal Mateches ain lahachmer afilo lachatchilo, b'shum da'afim hoyanitas. Even if a little fleshig some milchas got spritzed onto the pot, hayichozem islabin al yidei hoish. It would become oizge kashered with a libun. The two ways to kasher a treif pot, either you have hagola or libun. So he says over here, the fact that the pots are right near the fire, they're sitting there the whole time near the fire, and the fire is making the pots burning hot. So even if a little fleshik fell on the milchik frying pan, or a little milchik fell on the fleshik frying pan, still, it'll become mislabein, the pot will become mislabein, and there's nothing to worry about. So what does the Ramah say, l'chatchili, you should be choshish about it? He quotes the Ramah in the Torah Schat is written by the Ramah. So what does the Ramah mean in the Shulchan Aruch, l'chatchili, you shouldn't use such a pot, you shouldn't leave your pots there? The Ramah in the Torah Schat says that it's not a problem. So the answer is no. The Ramah in the Torah Schat is talking about kideri shal mateches, there, libun helps. As opposed to the Ramah here, he's not talking about Kederi Shalmat. So what kind of Kederis is he talking about? Well, he's talking about wooden pots. You're going to have a wooden frying pan. It's going to burn. What kind of frying pan is he talking about? Well, of course Kederi Shalmat Teches. Means Mateches as opposed to Klicheres. That Mateches, Libun helps, and Klicheres, Libun doesn't help. Is that true? Kli Mateches, Libun doesn't help. The Gemara says, "Hatorah hid al kalcheres sheini yaitzim idei doifel yoylam." It says in the Chumash, when you have, it says in Parshas Tzav, when you have a pot that you cooked or you broiled a korban chatas in it, so you have to do a merak v'shuta b'amayim. You have to do a merika shtifa. You do hagola. But on uklicheres tavush al bo yishaver merika shtifa hagola doesn't help. Anaklicheres. That's the pasuk in Chumash. That Marika Shtifa means Hagola doesn't help Anaklicheres. So the Gemara in Zvachim says Beferish, even though Hagola does not help Anaklicheres, but Libun does help. The Gemara asked the Kasha, why does it say in the Chumash? Uklicheres is Shatibu Shabo, Yishover. Why should it be Yishover? Well, the Hadrinalikiv Shainais, one should take the Klicheres that has the Korban Chatas broiled in it, and put it back into the kibshin and do a libun. If you do a libun, it will become kosher. So Tosfos and all the Rishonim point out, you see beferish from the Gemara, that if you have a kli cheres, hagola doesn't help, but libun does help. So what is the shach quote over here? That libun only helps on a kli matechas, on a kli cheres libun doesn't help. It's not true. Libun helps on a kli cheres also. So the Pashto says the answer is there are two kinds of libun. There's a libun chomer and there's a libun kal. Libun chomer means the Gemara in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the last Amud Aleph. Maseches Avodah Zarah ends on an Amud Beis. So the last Amud Beis. Next to the last Amud Beis. The last Amud before the Masechta ends, so the Gemara quotes a Braisa. How do you do Libun? So the Gemara says you put the pot into a burning hot fire until a layer of metal will fall off from the pot. By our pots, it never happens because our pots, the metal by us is already treated in such a way that it's not going to fall off. But in the days of the Gemara, they had a different kind of metal. So if you put the pot into a burning hot fire, the outer coating of metal will fall off from the pot. So how does that translate, Bizman Hazeh, when we want to do libun? So you say, you can't do any libun. When you have a broiler, a frying pan or something, by us the metal, the outer layer of the metal is never going to fall off. So you can't do libun. So we assume no. What the Gemara means to say is that when you heat the metal to such a high degree that if it would have been raw metal, the outer layer would have fallen off. That's 950 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's called libun. So even by us, our pots are treated, the metal is treated in such a way, a layer of metal is not going to fall off if you gli-ice the pot, if you burn out the pot till 950 degrees Fahrenheit, that's called libun chomer. Some other Rishonim say that for libun you don't need such a high degree temperature, even though that's a simple reading in the Gemara. Others say no, if you heat the pot till the point of kash nisraf, the pot is so hot that if you take a piece of straw, you take a piece of paper and you put the piece of paper, let's say here's the pot, and I did a libun on the pot. Now I turn off the fire on the bottom. I did libun. I turn off the fire and I take a piece of paper. I put the piece of paper on the pot. So the piece of paper will flare up because the pot is so burning hot. What degree temperature is that? How high a temperature do you need that paper should burn? So there's a book that was printed, I forgot the name, about...
450.
What is it for? It's not the real temperature, approximately. So how much is it?
I think it's 451 Celsius. It changed because it sounded better.
No. It's less than 500 degrees Fahrenheit. Something less than 500 degrees. Yeah.
That's not the real temperature.
Okay, but it's something less than 500 degrees. So in America, they always used to say that's called libun kal. Libun kal means kash nisraf. If you put a piece of paper, it'll burn. So because all the ovens in America always go till 550 degrees, so that's what the Rabbanim used to say 70 years ago, you heat up the oven till 550 degrees, which is a guzma, you heat it up to 500, it's also good. So that's called kash nisraf. So when does the halacha say that you need libun chomer? When does the halacha say that libun kal is good? So the Rama writes in Hilchas Pesach, most of the dinim of libun and hagola are not spelled out in the second chelik yeridah. There's a sim in the beginning, second chelik yeridah, Hilchas Hagolah B'Libun. So what does it say there? So the Mechaber writes, look what I wrote in Hilchas Pesach. So you have to look in Tof Nun Aleph and Tof Nun Beis, the two simonim, how to kasha pots. So so the Ramah paskins this achro. If you have a trefer pot that was balea iser, b'liam tzos hamayim. When do you need Hagolah, when do you need Libun? See if you cooked trefer soup and there's a mashke, ayidei mashkim, then Hagolah is enough. If you broiled trefe food on a broiler, b'liam tzos hamayim, you didn't use any liquid, then the halacha requires that you have to have libun. So if you have an isura bola, and you have to do a real libun, because it's b'liam tzos hamayim, so then we require libun chomer. But what if it's a hetera bola? So the Gemara says, if you have a hetera bola, let's say I have a broiler, and I always broiled kosher cheese on the broiler. I always broiled kosher flesh on the broiler. Hetera bola. So strictly speaking, all you have to do is hagolah. That's what we had the Gemara, the last daf in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara had a stira. How come in the end of Chumash Bamidbar by Melchemes Midyan, it says that they had the tray for Kelim, so some Kelim they had to do Libun, and some Kelim was enough with Hagolan. How come in Parshas Tzav, it says everything is good in Merak Meshuta Bamayim, everything is good enough with Hagola? So Abai answered, Yagir Olav Reya. Once you have the Psukim in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, that sheds light on the Psukim in Parshas Tzav, that sometimes you need Libun, sometimes you need Hagola. We don't pass on like Abai, we pass on like Rava. What does Rava say? Rabbi Pasuk like the other Amora who preceded Abai, he says that it depends whether Isura Bola or Hetera Bola. When you broil the Korban Chatos on the broiler, today it's Hetera. If the time will remain in the broiler till tomorrow morning, then it'll turn into Isura. It'll become Noisar. If the Lina Slide, it'll become Noisar. But today, when the Bli is Nivla, it's Hetera Bola. So whatever it's Hetera Bola, Rabbi says it's always enough with Hagola. You never need Libun. Whenever it's Isura Bala, so then the Chumash says, sometimes you need Libun, sometimes you need Hagol. So we paskan like that. Whenever it's a Hetera Bala, it's always good enough with Hagola. So then the Ramo says, and what if it's easier for my purposes to do a Libun than to do a Hagola? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's too difficult to do Hagola. It's easier to do Libun. So the Ramo says, whenever it's a Hetera Bala, whenever it's a case where it's really enough with Hagola, and you want to do Libun instead of Hagola, so then the Ramah writes, it's not necessary to do Libun Chomer, 950 degrees. It's sufficient if you do a Libun Kal. So Mestama, that's what this Shach is talking about. Shach and Sivkot Nechaf Aleph. He says, if you have Kederish al Mateches, what are you talking about over here? We're worried, I may have had a Fleshi Kli Eina Ben Yomo. Not talking about a Ben Yomo. Let's say, if you have a fleshik pot, by mistake it gets a bli of milchik. So you have a milchik pot, by mistake it gets a bli of fleshik. Either I cooked fleshiks in the milchik pot by mistake, or I have a fleshik pot sitting near the fire, and the butter is spritzing, the burning hot butter is spritzing on. So if the kli is a ben yomo, if the fleshik of the milchik kli is a kli ben yomo, it was used for fleshiks and milchiks within the last 24 hours, and now the opposite is Nivla into it, and that becomes Basa B'chol of Deraisa. So that's Isura Bola. So then if it's B'liyam Tzos Hamayim, if I broiled cheese on the same broiler that I broiled meat within 24 hours of each other, so now I have to have Libun to kasher it. But if it's a Kli Sheina Ben Yomo, I haven't used the Kli for Fleshes and Milchiks in the last 24 hours. And now it gets an opposite B'liya. So never became Basa B'chol of. It's a nice and Tam Levgam. Doesn't become Basa B'cholov. The problem is that the pot is both fleishig and milchik. So you can't use it for milchik because it's fleishig from a week ago. Can't use it for fleishig because it just became milchik yesterday. So you're stuck. So you can't use it for fleishig, you can't use it for milchik. But basically it's a terabola. So it'll make a difference. If it's a terabola but it's fleishig and milchik at the same time, so then you can do a libun kal. You can do a hagola, strictly speaking. You can do a hagola. Hagola is good. Even if the nature of the kli is such that it really should have required, if it's b'liyam tzos hamayim, but b'liyam tzos hamayim, the halacha requires libun, that's only if it's isura bola, but if it's a tera bola, so hagola is enough. So there are more rights in Ilchus Pesach, so whenever hagola is good enough, then libun kal can substitute for the hagola. So that's what he's talking about over here. He says if it's a kli mateches, where hagola would be good, and a kli cheres, hagola is no good. And a kli mateches, the Torah says, and if it's a klicheres, you can't kasha. You can't kasha with hagola, but the Gemara says you can kasha with libun. What about libun kal? Libun kal can substitute for hagola. So what's the din of a libun kal on a kli cheres? So the Ramah, quoted by the Shach, seems to be distinguishing. That's l'chor pashut pshat. He says, you have a fleishig or a milchik pot that's sitting right near the fire, hasn't been used in 24 hours, and now you're frying milchiks, and the cheese is, you're afraid, l'chatchili yechoshesh, it's really a far-fetched chashash. The Ramos says, b'dyeved, in lochish b'chol zeh, the Balabas doesn't think that anything spritz, there's no problem. But l'atchila b'chashash, what are you chashash? Chosha, then maybe the fleshig part just became milchig also. Maybe the milchig part just became fleshig because some of the fleshig spritzed on it. But it's not that maybe it became basar b'cholav. It's just chosha, maybe it's both basar and cholav. So for that, libun kal would be sufficient because that's haterabola. So hagola would be enough. So libun kal can substitute for hagola. So he says, libun kal is only good b'kderish al mateches. But in k'derish al cheres, libun kal is not good enough. Even though libun is good by kli cheres. That's a Gemara beferish. The Gemara says, "Vela hadrinu likib shaynis." The Gemara asked the kash on the pasuk in Chumash. Why does it say vimi klicheres? If you use the klicheres to broil the korban chatos, then it says yishover. So the Gemara asks, "Why is yishover?" Vela hadrinu likib shaynis. So the Gemara says the answer is because you don't make kibshaynis in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is going to be all full of smoke and all full of dirt. And you're going to cause the city to be dirty. You have to, Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, has to be a pretty city. You don't allow any kivshenis. You don't allow big factories that are going to have smoke making the whole city all greasy and grimy. But if not for that fact that you know, ain't oisim kivshenis b'Yerushalayim, Gemara says, l'adrinu l'kivshenis would have solved the problem. If you do libun on a klicheris, it's good. That's only if you do libun chomer. 950 degrees. But if you're only doing over here libun kal, that's what the shach means over here. Shach means the pots are near the fire. So how hot are the pots getting? Not getting 950 degrees. Could it even be that the fire is 950 degrees? So the pots are near the fire, they're going to get 500 degrees Fahrenheit. They're not going to get 950 degrees. So he says, if it's kederish al cheres, if it's kederish al mateches, the whole chashash is that it may be a hetera bola. No chashash that it's an isura bola. So if it's gederish al mateches and it's close enough to the fire the whole time, we assume that even if a little fleshik spritzed on it, a little milchik spritzed on it, probably had already a libun kal. So it's probably ois gekashit. But if it'll be a klicheres, then libun kal is no good, because libun kal is a substitute for hagola. Hagola doesn't work on a klicheres. So libun kal also doesn't work on a klicheres. I think that's the poshib shat and this shach. And Chafal is quoting a Torah Schatos. The Bigderish al Mateches ain't lach mafil lachatzum shem dafim hoya nitas hayichoz and mislabin al ideyei. So why shouldn't the same be true by klicheres? The answer is klicheres libun helps if you do libun chomer, but not if you do libun kal. That's the accepted psak, the Prima Godim and others write like that, and I think that's what this shach is saying in the name of the Ramo from the Torah Schatos. You can use the pot to cook vegetable soup. If you have a pot that's fleshig, and when it's ain't a benyoma, you cook milchigs by mistake. If you have a milchig pot, when it's ain't a benyoma, you cook fleshigs. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch later, you may neither cook fleshigs nor milchigs in the pot, because it's they made exer ain't a benyoma. At the benyoma, you're not allowed to use minatara. The Gemara says leosatara al kadera bas yoma. Chumash only asks using a tray for pad within 24 hours. But the made Xera, they're all Xera, and the Ben Yom, the Ben Yom. So the Ra'or and the Bet Kabayis and the Ritva, the end of Abba Dezar, quotes this Ra'or. The Ritva was the Talmud of the Ra'or. The Ra'or held that Xera, the Rabbanon, Xera, and the Ben Yom, the Ben Yom, only applies to Yisura Bola. If you have a tray for pad, you're not allowed to wait till 24 hours and use it for kosher. But he said, no need to have two sets of dishes. He says, that's a Hetera Bola. So his practice was, he had one set of dishes, he would wait 24 hours and then use it for the opposite. Then wait 24 hours, use it for the opposite, back and forth. And all the other Rishonim disagreed that the Gzeira de Rabban, Gzeira Enim Ben Yomo, Ata Ben Yomo, even applies to Hetera Bola. It doesn't only apply to Yisura Bola, even to Hetera Bola. So, but it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if by mistake you cook fleshiks in the milchik pot, Enim Ben Yomo, so the pot is now both fleshig and milchig, and you're not allowed to cook fleshigs and not allowed to cook milchigs. You can cook pareva food, you can cook pareva vegetable soup, that's not a problem. There's nothing going to pose a problem, but you're not allowed to cook neither fleshigs nor milchigs, because gzeir ain't a ben yomo at the ben yomo, and it's now ain't a ben yomo both fleshig and milchig. So whatever you're going to cook, fleshig or milchig, is going to be in violation of the gzeir ain't a ben yomo at the ben yomo. But to cook pareva, that's fine. So that's called hetera bola. If you would have cooked the fleshigs in the pot and the milchig pot when it was ben yomo, then the pot becomes, then the bli in the pot becomes bas b'cholav deraisa. Now you can't even cook part of it when it's going to be ene ben yom. That's exer ene ben yom at ben yom because of his mamish treif. But if you, by mistake, you cook the fleshik when the milchik pot was ene ben yom, it doesn't become treif, it just becomes fleshik, superimposed on top of milchik. So you can either cook, you may neither cook fleshik nor cook milchik, but part of it you may cook. That's in the Shulchan Aruch, part of it you may cook. So that's what the Ramah, that's what the Shachraf Aleph is talking about. You're afraid that the pots that you store in the Tana Beis HaChorev, far-fetched chashash, maybe some butter spritzed on it, or maybe some flesh spritzed on it, so l'chatchile, we're nervous about a bit, yeah, but it does not, we're not concerned. You don't think anything spritzed on it, so there's no problem. But l'chatchile, we're concerned you shouldn't do it. So he says, the whole concern only applies if it's a kli cheres. But if it's a kli mateches, and it's sitting there the whole time next to the fire, so even if it did become both fleshig and milchig, but it has a libun kal, so a libun kal solves the problem. But libun kal doesn't work on a kli cheres. That's what the, and I think that's what the shach means. I think that's what he means in Chaf Aleph. Yeah. So katan chav beis is a very important shach that we discussed a lot, that all of these things that say in Shulchan Aruch, that there's no bas b'chol of deraisa, that you ain't a loike. What does he tell me? Ain't a loike? Nobody got any malchus in the days of the Rabbi Yosef Karo. Means ain't a loike. It's only bas b'chol of derabbanan. It's not bas b'chol of deraisa. So that's what the shach says. Ain't a loike. Hachanami isura mihoika. He writes there is an isur derabbanan. Shach had it before. Shach had it before. In Yud Dalet, and in Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, he wrote like that. All those things, there's not Basa B'chol of the Raisa, but there is Basa B'chol of the Rabbanon. Then Sif Ches, we spoke about already. When is the Mei Cholov that's part of the Minatar, it's only Milchik with the Rabbanon? Is it the regular way, or is it only when you take out the curds from the milk to make cheese, and then you cook what's left, you have the whey that you left, you cook, and then the slight amount of curds float to the top, and you make cheese out of that, now what's left is mamish mei mecholov, so that's one opinion that we're machmer, we're choshish for that opinion, that's that way, that's part of the menator milchik mederabbanan. But the first way is milchik menator. See, that's taka an issue. There is an iser of gvina sakum. The Tanoi made exer the rabbanon gvina sakum, and in the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara has in Maseches Avodah Zarah the whole sugya. What's the reason why they prohibited gvina sakum? So each Amora gives a different suggestion. The Mishnah records that one Tana wasn't there when they made the exer, so he asked the other one who was there, why did they make the exer the rabbanon? So he says, I'm not allowed to tell you. You're not allowed to divulge the secret for the first year. So after the year went by, so the reason was forgotten somehow. The Gemara has around seven different reasons why is Gvina Sakum off. So one reason the Gemara gives is because when they make cheese, when the Nochem make cheese, they're not careful to use water that has no poison in it. Sometimes the Nochem are not concerned, then they'll use Mayim Megulim, and maybe a Nochosh spit some poison into the water, and it's going to be dangerous to drink that water. So the Rabbein Tam and Tosis paskens like that reason, that the only reason why Gvina Sakum is Osir is because they use Mayim Megulim in the process of manufacturing the cheese, and Hain Bizman Azeh, that everybody's Mekel, we live in the cities, there are no snakes. So we're not Choshish B'Shem Giloi. So the big Tosis in Avodah Zarah, and that daf says that Bizman Azeh, the Rabbein Tam holds that all the cheese is Mutter. Then he quotes, Tosis quotes that there were communities where they used to eat Gvina Sakum. And the Ramah writes in the second Chelek Yerodeh, the beginning of the second Chelek, there were communities in the days of the Ramah, not just in the days of the Rabbein Tam, in the days of the Ramah where they used to eat Gvina Sakum. So he says, if that's their minig, so they're allowed to continue observing their minig, because it's based on this Rabbein Tam. But if it's not clear that that's the minig, then we assume that it's not so. There was an Asik in the early years after Hakamas HaMedina. Gvinas Yisrael wasn't available. So there was a big dispute what they should do. Should the Rabbanan give a Hechsher on Gvinas Akum, They checked that there are no non-kosher ingredients, but the gzera derabanan, gvinas akum, is still there. So should they give a hechsher? So the Chazon Ish held they should give. They have printed letters. Chazon Ish held they should give a hechsher and gvinas akum. Because mikra adin he passed here. The Tosis is lamen heom and aleph. The bottom Tosis in Maseches Avodah Zarah lamen heom and aleph. The Ramaschal chodok katoni. So they quote the rabbi in a tam that the whole reason we should really pasken from the seven reasons that the Gemara gives, that the reason that we accept la halacha is because of nikur, because of my megulim, maybe the snake spit the poison in, and mizman hazeh, we live in the cities, and the ein nechashim mitzuyim beneinu, so we all drink my megulim, and all the mashk my megulim, so all the gvinas akum is mutah. So they say there's some communities where they're allowed. So the Chazon Ish at that time said, it's very bad. If the Rabbanim are not going to give a hechsher on the cheese, the Balabatim are going to be eating the cheese anyway. And they're going to get used to assuming that you can eat non-kosher food. So he said it's a very bad thing. So the Chazon Ish said we should give a hechsher on the cheese that it's kosher, except for the Gvinas Akum issue. So we should ignore that, because Mikra Din, the Din is really like the Rabbein Atam. That's what he held. And the other Rabbanim held, no, you can't give a hechsher, because in Shulchan Aruch it says the minig is the... We live in the Medinas where we're machmer, and you have to be machmer even if it's a yevsha. Aye, but Chazon Ish is psychology. The people are going to get used to not looking for a heksha. So they'll start buying non-kosher things at a mamish trade. So the other Rabbanim were more concerned about giving a heksha on something that's in violation of the minim. And the Chazon Ish was more concerned about allowing the oilam to get into the habit of eating food that doesn't have a heksha. So the... So we have a din that gvinas akum is us. Okay. The Chazon Ish claims it's only a minig. He says, mikra din, the din is really like the minatam. Whatever it is, we're machma on the gvinas akum. We don't allow gvinas akum, even though all the ingredients are kosher, we don't allow gvinas akum. They wrote up a story about when the American army liberated all of the Jews in the concentration camps in Europe, and they were starving. They were dead. Most of them were dead. They had dead bodies piled up all over the place. And then the few who were alive, they were skinny like a toothpick. They hadn't eaten in so long. So they said, eat some food. So they gave him American cheese. They gave him cheese from America that was gvinas akum. So they write, some of the rabbanim said they refused to eat the cheese. Said, what do you mean? It's a sakonis defoshes. He said, no, they're not going to eat gvinas akum. So that's a question. How far do you go with this chumrah? Chazon Ish holds Mikra Din, we really paskin like that. So Rav Soloveitchik also thought Mikra Din, we really paskin like the Rabbi Tam, and it's only a chumra that we ask a Gvina Sakam is manazeh. But we ask a Gvina Sakam. So the shaila is when the Nochrim make the cheese, what's the status with the whey when the guy makes cheese? So the whey is not treif. For some reason or another, we don't assume that the cheese is nice and tam into the whey. But what happens if the nochrim, after they take out all the curds and they make cheese out of that, then they cook the mecholov, and then they make cheese out of that, gvina from the mecholov, and then what's left is me mecholov. That's the shvacha whey. That whey, l'choladeis, is paravim and atar only milchik min derabon. That's sifches. So then, to make that cheese, the second cheese, that you have to, the shach quotes, that you have to be mevashalit. Yeah, the Shach says, Ayin li'el simen pe'alef sifei u'memasha kasafti shom. So if you look in pe'alef sifei, he describes how they used to make the mei mecholov. They would take the mecholov and they would cook it, and the curds would float to the top, and they would make shvacha cheese. Then what would be left would be mei mecholov. So that's a shaila. When the nochrim cook that way, and they make cheese out of that, maybe now there's a tam of the trefa cheese into that whey. Maybe that whey is treif. Maybe that whey is treif. Normal whey is not treif. We assume that there's no nesinas tam. The cheese doesn't give tam into the whey. The whey started off as milk. Had its own tam. It doesn't have to get tam from the cheese. But when you cook that whey to separate the slight amount of curds that are left, and then to separate, and you have left is mei mecholov. So since I de bishul, so the bishul is nice and tam. So maybe now I should ask her that way. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he suggests a kula. He wrote the tshuva in his very old age. So So that's why it's a little not as strong as the earlier tshuvas that he wrote when he was healthier. It's in the last years of his life. So he has a suggestion. He writes himself, maybe it's a little wild. He has a suggestion. The shaila is the gzera de rabbanon that they prohibited the chola vakum because maybe the nochrim mix in chola behema tameya. So you're not allowed to have chola vakum. What about butter? What's the story with butter? So butter is not made from milk. No, there's no. Butter is made from milk. So all butter in the world should be also because of chola vakum or cheese. All cheese in the world should be also because it's chola vakum. So what? So that some sefer is bothered with a kasha and it. Some sefer in the tshuva has a kasha that the Pischei tshuva alludes to on the page. But why did the Tanoim have to make a separate gzera asering vina sakum? Vina sakum, by definition, is chola vakum. No, they already asked chola vakum or butter. The Rambam says mikra din butter is not included, not an gzera of vina sakum, not an gzera of chola vakum. So butter mikra din is mutter, and it depends on the minhag hamakom. If the minhag hamakom is that you don't eat the chema sakum, so you should follow the minhag. Minhag is lahakel. So it's mutter. How can it be a minig lahakel? The butter is made from milk, and the cheese is made from milk. So the Chassam Sefer writes in his tshuva, the iser the rabbanon the chol avakum was only instituted when you buy it from the nochri in the form of milk. If the nochri took the milk and he made cheese out of it, so that's not called chol avakum. If the nochri took the milk and he made butter out of it. I buy it in the state of butter, that's not called cholavakum. The only acid when the Jew buys it from the Nochri in the state of milk. That's what Tzvi Pesach Frank had a cool years ago. Cholavakum is not available in America. So there was some were machmir in Lakewood. They used to buy Cholav Yisrael from Bnei Akiva. I had a camp, Hakshara camp, where the boys and girls, were preparing to go on Aliyah, Eretz Yisrael. So they used to have a camp in New Jersey. So that was Cholav Yisrael, so he used to buy the Cholav Yisrael from there. What if you couldn't get Cholav Yisrael? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank wrote a tshuva 70 years ago, that if you buy milk powder, that's okay. Why? Because the Chassam Sefer says the only time the Cholav Akum is Osir is if you buy it from the Nochri in the form of milk. But if you buy it in the form of cheese, you buy it in the form of butter, you buy it in the form of powder, that's not included in the Gzera. So on cheese they made a Gzera, Gvinas Akum, a separate Gzera. And on butter, the Rambam has some mekaymis, the minig is ta'asachema. But on milk powder, there never was an iser, and there never was a minig. So he says, mikra, then the milk powder is mutter. It used to taste awful.
Rambam was very much in the early days of my home, he drank chol stam, Gordon's milk.
He was makbe what?
The health of the boys.
So he wouldn't let them use the milk powder?
No, he didn't buy milk powder. We used to serve regular Gordon's milk.
Because it wasn't available. The Chol Yisrael wasn't available.
It was before the vine, before they had the Hashira.
Mm.
50s, the early 50s, used to drink Chol
Yisrael. But I remember then, some yeshivas used to give milk powder, mix it with water, and it tasted awful. You could throw up from it, it tasted awful. I don't know how people drink it, but a lot of people do use it.
That's the tradition of Chassam Sefer, isn't that Tosfos on Mount Hayam Beit and Abizar?
Could be, I don't remember. The Chassam Sefer is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Tosfos they don't quote. I got to take a look. I don't know. Could be it is a Tosfos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests that maybe just like this Chassam Sefer sets up this vart, that the Iser of Chol Avakum only sets in when the Jew buys it from the Nochri in the state of milk. So he suggests maybe Gvina Sakum only, the Iser Gvina Sakum only sets in when the Jew buys it from the Nochri in the form of Gvina. When the Nochri is cooking the whey, the Nochri made cheese, and he has whey. And then he cooks the whey, in order that the curd should float to the top, he should make this whey cheese, and then he should have left the over meimei cholov. So when he's cooking it, so he said, Gevald, he's making cheese, and the cheese is gvina sakum etzoser, so the whey, the meimei cholov, should have an issa because of a blia. And Moshe says, no, maybe the Gvina Sakum didn't become Usr until a Jew buys it. So he writes himself, it's highly questionable whether that heter is correct or not.
We're not worried that the pots have the Basr used for Basr. We're always worried that the Goyish pots are used for Basr before the use of milk. The whole fire on long. Shouldn't light a fire on the
No, this is a company. No, the company has designated kelim that are only for that. They don't cook differently. Yeah, dedicate only for that. Yeah. So the shayla is like this. The Rambam writes that buying butter from a goy, chemos hakmin depends on the minhag hamakom. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If the minhag hamakom is not to you shouldn't. Minhag hamakom is lahakol is fine. Shayla is that today, if you look on butter, so a lot of the butters it says that it has whey as one of the ingredients. So a lot of times they have this whey that's questionable. So it could be that butter is treif medina. Could be that butter today maybe treif medina. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Bendina Machus, if the butter says it's quality AAA, that means that it doesn't have any whey mixed in. But if it only says quality A or AA, then I think it may have whey mixed in it. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the Dina Machus. So Ramosha's Mekel, Ramosha has this suggestion. Maybe since the Nochri cooked the whey, and the Yisrael didn't buy the cheese yet, the cheese is still Eitzel HaNochri, so maybe the Issa Gvina Sakam doesn't set in, so it can't give an Asina Stam Abisa, it's still Heter. The Issa Gvina Sakam only sets in once a Yisrael buys it from the Nochri. So if you say like Ramosha's Tzatz, all the butter is, there's no problem. But if you don't accept Ramosha's Chiddush, he's shaky himself. He says not so convinced that it's a tzadlahok. If one is not inclined to accept Rav Moshe's heter, then you got a problem on the butter. The butter may be also medina bizman, is that because it has whey mixed in, and that whey that they mixed in is the whey when they're mavashel. That's the second way. When they're mavashel, the whey to remove the curds to make the second cheese, and the pashtis is that gives an asina stam into the way that remains. So the Oyu is usually machmer on that, unless they have additional tzad in lahok. They usually machmer against Rav Moshe's tzad lahok. Bishul akum on milk? No, it's nechol kamoshu chai. No, bishul akum doesn't apply on everything. Bishul akum is only if it's oil al shulchan alochim. It's not nechol kamoshu chai. That's not a problem. But the problem is that it has the tam, it has an asinus tam, by de bishul from the gvina sakum. So Rav Moshe has a tzad lahokel that calls man, you didn't buy the gvina from the yakum, it doesn't have the issa. So we say like that, there's no problem.
Can you make butter from chol of tamei? But the chol of tamei doesn't separate by itself.
The Gemara says that you can't. Yeah, the Gemara says that cheese. The Gemara says cheese, and yeah, you can't make from chol of behema tamei. But if you have a little bit of a mixture in, then it will turn out you can make cheese, and you'll have not everything will turn into cheese. It doesn't make sense that the Nochri should mix in chol of behema tamei, because it's not going to turn, it's not going to cheese up. It's not going to turn into cheese. But maybe that there'll be mezayif, so they won't mix in half chol of behema tamei, half chol of behema. They'll put in 5%, so it'll be 5% trait. That's enough that it shouldn't be bottled b'shishim. The bottle b'shishma has to be less than 2%. Okay, so that's Sifches. Sifches is about the way story. When is the way milchig min haTorah? When is the way only milchig min the Rabbanan and parvim min haTorah? Okay. What's Sifches? So Sifches was the big machloikis of Rishonim based on the Mishnah in the end of Perek Kol HaBosor. The Mishnah talks about the cholov. Animtza b'me'ei behema, is it pirsha b'yalma or not? What is pirsha b'yalma? Pirsha b'yalma means nivsa machila sa'adam. There is no such halacha. That's what we spoke about. There is no such halacha that whatever is biologically a waste product is muta b'achila. It's not true. The Gemara in the first Perek in Bechoris has a discussion. What's the din of meraglayim shalchamor? Meraglayim is certainly a waste product. And you don't say automatically meraglaim shalchamor is pirsha. The Gemara says not so. The Gemara thinks that it is royal achila. The Gemara just has a suffix. When the chamor drinks water and the water goes through the whole system, then it comes out as meraglaim. Let's say the chamor, you'll drill a hole in the chamor and you'll pour in water. It goes in one ear and out the other. You pour water through. So that's yotzim and hatamei tamei. No, the Gemara says yotzim and hatamei tamei only applies if it's godel b'yisr. If it's developed by the animal develops milk, the animal develops eggs, God will be yisoy yotzim minos. Stomach goes in and goes out not. So the Gemara has a suffix. When the chamor drinks water and it comes out the other end as meraglaim, is that called godel biyisa? Did it undergo such a major change or not? Why didn't the Gemara just say it's pirsha bialma? So you see from the Gemara that it's not, it clearly is a waste product. There ain't no such din that a waste product is automatically declared pirsha bialma. And secondly, that's what we mentioned. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in his Sefer Mincha Shlomo, you see from the Gemara that you don't ask 1,000 people who wants to drink Meir Aglam Shel Chamor. Everyone will say no. Well, which Meshuggah wants to drink it? So he says you don't ask who wants to drink Meir Aglam Shel Chamor. You put it on a table at a wedding with ice cubes, and you see if the people drink it on their own. So he says, so the Gemara assumes that people will drink it. So it's not so easy to declare that it's Nifsam Achilo Sodom. It has to be Mamish Nifsam Achilo Sodom. So what? But there is a cloud that Pirsha B'Alma is Mutter. So the answer is Pirsha means Nifsam Achilo Sodom. So the Rishonim have a whole machlokes. How do you deal with this? What's the status of the Cholov Shebekeva? A young calf nurses from the mother. Is the Cholov Shebekeva, when the milk goes into the stomach, so the enzymes start to work on the milk that's sitting there in the stomach. So if it's sitting only for 20 minutes, so the enzymes didn't have a chance to affect it too much of a change. If it's sitting there for a couple of hours, then the enzymes will have quite an effect on it. So there's Cholov Tzolo Shebekeva, and there's Cholov Korush Shebekeva. So the Shach quotes here, Sivkot Nechafei, he quotes there three different opinions. He says there's one opinion that even the Cholov HaKorush Shebekeva, even the Cholov HaKorush Shebekeva is not considered Pirsha B'Yalma. And Hushita Zed, the Rashbam, Hushita Zed, the long Rashi, the long Tshuva, that's, it's not really Rashi, Rashi's grandson. So there is a group of Rishonim who say that even Cholov HaKorush Shebekeva, you should also be Machmeh for that. So L'chatchila, the Shach recommends that you should be Choshish for that. Cholov HaKorush Shebekeva is not yet considered Pirsha B'Yam. Then there's an opinion that the Mechaber Paskins like me, Karednin, that even the Cholov HaTzolo Shebekeva, it wasn't sitting in the stomach so long that the enzymes had a chance, had an opportunity to effect such a change on it. It's a little bit has enzymes, it doesn't have so much. So the Mechaber Paskins like the Ramam and the Rif, the Mikra Adin Cholov HaTzolo Shebekeva is also Pirsha B'Yalma. The enzymes affected it, so Snifsal Me'achilason. And the Ramot Paskins, not so. The Ramot Paskins against the Mechaber, that it depends whether it's Korush or Tzolo. If it's Tzolo, so Ramot holds that even Asas B'Yevit. That's not called Pirsha B'Yalma. If it's Cholov HaKorush, then the Ramot Paskins that it's called Pirsha B'Yalma. So, solidified. It's sitting there with so many enzymes that it's in a certain sense it's like a pudding. I never saw it, but it sounds like instead of being very liquidy, it doesn't pour. It's like a pudding. Because the enzymes are what make it into cheese. So this stuff turned into cheese already in the stomach of the behemoth. So are we? What kind of an issue are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with an issue deraisa, dealing with an issue derabanan. This three-way machloikis. Whether even Tzolol is considered Pirsha B'Yalma, or even Korush is considered Royal Achilo Sodom, or the Ramos compromise between Tzolol and Korush. Is it an issue deraisa, an issue derabbana? So the Shach says, sometimes it'll be an issue deraisa, sometimes derabbana. Shach and Lamed Beis. What are you talking about? So he has, take a look in the Shach and Lamed Beis. Oh, I have a different Shach. In my Shach, it's on page 384, in my edition. So it's the first very wide line. He quotes a Bach, and he says, I don't know what in the world the Bach is talking about. So he says on the first very wide line, Mi unirad yesh lat afilu b'ksher shiyonka min atreifa b'tzolo v'nikrash. Sometimes you're dealing with an issue deraisa, sometimes an issue derabbanan. Let's say, normal is that a calf drinks milk from its mother. Or the calf will drink milk from another cow, even though it's not its own mother, from the yent. Okay. And once in a while, a calf will drink milk from a donkey. Cholov chamor. But that's unusual, different. So chalav chamor is an isa deraisa, yotzim and asa is asa. So if you're talking about ksheira shiyonka min hatrefa, a ksheira was drinking milk from a donkey, a ksheira was drinking milk from a cow, which is a trefa. So the chalav of a trefa is also an isa deraisa, yotzim and asa asa. And now we want to discuss whether you're allowed to drink, whether you're allowed to use that chalav shebekeva. So you're dealing with an issue deraisa. It started off as iser. Yotzim and atome is tome. This cholov is from a behemah treifa, from a behemah tmeo. You're dealing with an issue deraisa. Did it become nifsim achila or not? So there's room to consider more chumra over there, as opposed to the whole sif and shulchanot, sif tes and sif yud. We're talking about taking a spoonful of this cholov shebekeva. You have a big vat full of milk. You take a spoonful of cholav shebekeva, throw into the vat, so that'll cause all of the milk to turn into cheese. So what's the whole issue over here? The cholav shebekeva was sometimes sitting nais leis. Sometimes it was. We have a rule that kovish kemevushal. If something is kovish nais leis, so there's going to be a bliya. So let's say, by mistake, l'chatchidah shouldn't do this, by mistake you left the cholov, you shech the calf, and you left the milk in the stomach of the calf sitting there for 24 hours. So this lining of the stomach is the flesh. The calf is flesh. The milk inside is the chistarah off as milk. So kovish kemuvushal, it gets a tam of basa b'cholov. It gets a tam from the flesh. Then you're going to take this, a spoonful of this, and throw into a vat full of milk, so the tam of the flesh is going to be there. That's going to affect the whole thing. So you're going to be dealing with a case of basa b'cholov over here. So, but this is only going to be a basa b'cholov derabbanan. This is not going. So the shach says that's not going to be a basa b'cholov derais, because it's not derach bishul. It's the whole thing is only going to be mamid, and kovush, and maliach. Here, the Shulchan Aruch gives you two cases where you know for sure that there's a tam of the flesh, the lining of the stomach, gave a fleshic tam into the milk, the cholav shebekeva. Either it was sitting there me'es le'es. Take a look and see if you'd. If it's nimlech bekevosa, shomad b'yoyim echod, osa lahamid bo. If the cholav was sitting in the keva for 24 hours, so then kovish kemavushal, so there's going to be a tam of the flesh, of the lining of the stomach that's going to go into the cholov, or even if it wasn't sitting 24 hours, if you put in a lot of salt, and it's ein anecha machmas molchoi, it's so salty that it's not roi l'achila, so then we say, maliach keresech kovish kemevushal. But the whole issue of basa b'cholov is only going to be a derabbanan in such a case. So this issue, whether the cholov shebekeva is considered pirusha b'alma or not, with the three different opinions. The one opinion, even tzolol, is considered pirusha b'alma. The other opinion, even korish, is not considered pirusha b'alma. And the Ramos p'sak, the compromise, the split between tzolol and korish, so this is neged to dinam deraisa and dinam derabbanan. Baksher shiyonkem and atreif is neged to a din deraisa, because it started off as treif and milk. Ayotzim and asav is asav. The shaila is, did it become nifsa and achila? So it's pirusha b'alma, so it's no longer treif. And when you get to the basa b'cholov, the whole thing from the very outset is only the rabbanan, because it's not going to be bishul. There is no bishul over here at all. So it's maliach and kovush and mamid, the whole thing is only the rabbanan. So the Bach gets upset why the Ramoa wrote a kul over here. The Shach and Lamed Beis quotes that the Bach was mekel, the Bach was machmer against the Ramoa, and he says, how can he naktina lahachman b'sura deraisa? How can you be mekel? How did Ramo have a right to be mekel? You're dealing with an issue of deraisa. Ad kan lashoni, quotes the Bach, says, v'teima, what kind of issue of deraisa? The Ramo is only talking about basa b'cholov derabbanan. So he says, unless the Bach is talking about ksherish yonkom in atreifo, that's an issue of deraisa. So who says the Ramo was mekel in such a case? The Ramo didn't say anything. The Ramo is talking about basa b'cholov. It's only the rabbanans. Maybe that's where the Ramo is mekel. But the Shach thinks that halacha lemaisa, we should not distinguish between whether you're dealing with an issue of the rabbanon, an issue of the raisa. It thinks the hachras haramah, the kula that the ramah wrote, say the ramah split between tzolol and korush, the middle centrist orthodox, the middle shita. that Koresh is considered Pirusha B'Alma, and Sol is considered Roy Lachila. So then the Ramah has a Machlekes HaRishanim. What if this Cholov was Tzolul? After you shef the animal, it was Tzolul, but it's sitting there in the stomach for a long time. It sits there for 24 hours and it became Koresh. What if it was Tzolul Shenasa Koresh? So the Ramah quotes that that's a Machlekes HaRishanim. So we're machmer on that. The Ramah says you should really be machmer tzolo moya keva tzolo metchila v'nikrash. So we're machmer yesh lajin tzolo. But if the hefsid yesh mekilim is a makam hefsid yesh lahokel, there's room to be makam by tzolo v'nasa korish. There's room to be makam. So that's what the shach says. He thinks that the Ramah would be makam even if you would be dealing with an issue deraisa. The Ramah would still be makam over here. Because bottom line, once the thing becomes korish. So the whole thing is, everything is Pirsha B'Alma. Then there's a, the Beis Yosef, the Shach there in Sukkot Lamed Beis, the Beis Yosef presents that there's a bit of a contradiction between two Rashbos. The Rashbo wrote the Torah Sabayis, but there are two. There's the Torah Sabayis HaOrach and the Torah Sabayis HaKotzer. Now they print one next to the other. So the Torah Sabayis HaOrach, he writes, the tour is patterned after the Torah Sabayis Ha'aruch. He quotes the Gemara, then he quotes what Rashi says, if Rashi has anything to say, then he quotes Tosfos, then he quotes the Rambam, then he quotes the Ramban. He says what he thinks, what this one says, what a whole Masa Matan. Torah Sabayis HaKotzer, which you usually have printed on the side of the page, just gives you Piske Dinim, A, B, C, D, without the whole pilpul, the whole background. So it's written by the same author. Torah Sabayis Ha'aruch and HaKotzer are both written by the Rashba. So the Beis Yosef presents it, the Shach and Laman Beis presents it, the Beis Yosef presents it as if there's a shtickle stira between the Oruch and the Kotzer over here. When you have Cholav HaKorush, so you say that's Pirsha B'Yalma, according to that sheet, the middle sheet, Cholav HaKorush Pirsha B'Yalma. That's only if it's Nikrash B'Chaye HaBehema. When you shechted the animal, you see the milk in the stomach is already Korush. What if it became Koresh afterwards? I shechted the animal and I see the cholam in the stomach is tzolo. Then it became Koresh later. So the Beis Yosef presents it, the Shach quotes the Beis Yosef who presents it as if there's a stira. That in the Torah Sabayis HaKotzer, he writes, Nikrash B'chayei HaBehema. Nikrash B'chayei HaBehema. Sounds like tzolo v'nasa Koresh is dina k'tzolo. And then in the Torah Sabayis, the regular Torah Sabayis Aruch, he doesn't make any distinction whatsoever. He just talks about Tzol versus Koresh. He doesn't say it has to be Nikrash B'chai HaBeim. So the Beis Yosef made it into a whole Machloikis. Gansa Machloikis HaRishon. So the Shach says, I don't see that there's any Machloikis. I don't see that there's a Stira in the Rashbo. He thinks that Mikra didn't solve an Asa Koresh. Bottom line, once it becomes Koresh, it's Koresh. Koresh is Pirsha B'Alma. Why should it make a difference? He doesn't hold from this whole spiel. So he says the Ramah was Mekel, but Makam Hefzid Yesh Lahaka by Tzol V'Nasa Karush, because he thinks Mikar Adin, it's really Muta. Whenever you have, this is going to be on every other page in your every fifth page, you're going to have, the Ramah usually adds on Chumers. The Mechaba has a lot, usually has Kulis, and the Ramah adds on Chumers. And then a lot, every so often the Ramah will write, we're Machmer, but if it's a Makam Hefzid Merubah, Bikshas HaTchagadla, Erev Shabbos, and you have guests coming, then you're Mekel. So what kind of business is that? What do you mean? The din changes. On the weekends is Mutta and the rest of the week it's Asa and Hepsid Merubah, the din changes. So it's not that the din changes. The Ramah himself writes in the Hakdomah to the Torah Schatas, whenever he writes that Mamakam Hepsid Merubah, Mamakam Hepsid Yemeko, what it means is that really Mikir Adin, it's really Mutta. But if you have a Mamakam Hepsid, so you revert back to the Ikir Adin, you're not Mechuyiv to Mimachabit Chacham Pliny, not Mechuyiv to Mimachabit the Torah Sabayis HaKotzer so much. If it's a Hefzid Merubah, you know, covered. When Tam Chochan comes in, you stand up. You have to stand up for 3 hours. You have to do work. You have to make a parnasa. You don't stand 3 hours like a statue. You stand up a little bit. You sit down. And you go back to do your work. So he says, a Hefzid Merubah, so you're not Mukhiv to Mimachab. So that's what the Shach says. He doesn't see what the Beis Yosef made a ganze stir between the Torah Sabayis HaKotzer and the Torah Sabayis HaOruch. He made a ganze diuk that the Torah Sabayis HaKotzer writes, Mamish Bikitz and Nimrats. Nikrash b'chayei habehema. Yeah, zakt eim edvarim hechrei kol kach. Uche de milson nokatochi. He doesn't think that it's true. He doesn't think the diuk is true. How can you say that? He doesn't see that it makes a difference. He holds that the Ramo is right, that Solomon Ahashakarish Meikaradin is really mutan, it's just a chumrah, and Mamakam Hefsid will make. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah. What's the din? Let's say I have a pot, and I cook chazim in the pot, and then I washed out the pot, but I didn't kasher it, and then I cook vegetable soup in the pot. I cook some kosher food. So we are concerned that the treif ablia from the pot is going to go into the food. It's going to make a treif. That's the pasuk of Gyuli Klei Midyon. You have to kasher all the kelim, because if you're not going to kasher, that's the mokka for tam kika derais. Unless you wait 24 hours, so then edem and yomo, so then we assume the charsas hakdera, the metallic flavor of the pot will work on the tam habalua b'doifne hakdera, and it'll make a nose in tam levgam, so then it won't asa the food that you'll cook later on. So here there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. If you put together a Sif Tes and Sif Yud. So the Ramo writes like this. The Ramo and Sif Yud writes, L'chatchile ein lahanicha bekevo ad shi itztanen hachola betoch hakevo. L'chatchile, it's improper when you shech the calf that has a lot of milk in the stomach because it was drinking milk from the mother. You shouldn't leave the milk there for too long. The milk may become treif in less than 24 hours. And the Chaber paskins, it's only going to begin to be a problem if it's kovishkin mevushel for 24 hours. He said there are three opinions, how long is kovishkin mevushel. The Gemara's Lashon was, itar le kuliyom bechelvo. If something soaks, kuliyom all day long. So one sheet that was all day long is 12 hours, one sheet that was all day long means 24 hours, one sheet that was, you only say kovishkin mevushel 72 hours because of the din of milav yirigiliyom. So we pass in the middle sheet. Torah lekuliyam means 24 hours. So the Machaber writes, if you leave the milk sitting in the keva for 24 hours, then there's going to be the tam of the fleshig, the walls of the keva flesh, regular organ of the animal, is going to be kavish kemevushal, is going to give an asinas tam of flesh into the milk. So that milk has a tam of flesh. Alachatchile, you won't be allowed to use that cholav shebekeva to make cheese, because you're taking a fleshik tam. There's a fleshik tam in the milk. You don't have shishim in the milk in the stomach against the keva, against the walls of the keva. So you're taking milk that has a blia flesh in it, you're going to mix it into other milk to make it into cheese. You're not allowed to do that. But the Yevit will have to see what the din is. But you're not allowed to. So the Mechaber says it's only a problem if it was kovish kemevushal, the milk was sitting in the keva for 24 hours, it gets a tam of the fleshy keva, goes into the milk, or it's nimlach, you salted it so much, and because of maliach kereseach, so the tam of the fleshy walls of the keva will be nivla into the keva. The Ramo says, v'lechatchile, you shouldn't even allow it to sit, when you shecht an animal, so the milk is still going to be warm inside the keva. So the Ramo says, "L'chatchila ein la'anicha bekeva ad shi'istan al'chala b'techa keva." You shouldn't let it sit for so long. Why not? If it's less than 24 hours and it's not maliach kereseach, so what could be the problem? What is the problem over here? So the Shach explains what the problem. Chavav hatam mefurasham. Who is he quoting? He's quoting Isavet Tahoruch from Balei Ateisus from Rishonim. Hatam mefurash tam. The Rishonim say why? Shechalav hakeva chorif. The chamut shaharei mamidin boy. The Gemara has in a lot of places. The Gemara says kovish kamevushal. So Rashi writes kovish b'chay mitzvitzir. What's up is kovish b'chay mitzvitzir? Let's say I have a piece of kosher flesh sitting soaking in blood, plain blood, for 24 hours. Kovish kamevushal doesn't have to be sharp. Why does Rashi only say kovish b'chay mitzvitzir? So the Rosh explains a compromise. He says if you have kovish, a solid is sitting in a liquid for 24 hours, it's kavish kemevushal, 24 hours. But if it's a dov charif, then we say kavish kemevushal makes a bli even less than 24 hours. How much time? Kedeshiyala al ha'ur v'yascha laharsiach. If you would take this and put it on top of the fire, al ha'ur, and it would start to bubble up. How long is that? It's less than 24. How long is that? So that Dark Yechiva quotes that the Pharisee saw Mishnayis in Zeraim somewhere, writes, that's 18 minutes. Sounds like an appeal. Chai. He's donating 18. Let's say 18 minutes. So he makes fun of the Pharisee. He says, with all due respect, where did he come off to say 18 minutes? It doesn't take 18 minutes to... They say Rabbi Moshe Feinstein always used to make appeals for the Pharisee Yerushalayim. Every Matzoi Shabbos, he was at a Malama Malka raising money. So he encouraged the people, instead of calling out chai, they should call out mabes. Mabes is a bigger gematria. It's over $400. Chai is only $18. So he encouraged them, they shouldn't go for chai, they should go for mabes. So what the first says, like 18 minute matzahs. So some people said 10 minute matzahs. No, they don't want 10 minutes, they want 18 minute matzahs. Think of gematria, 18 is a lucky number. 18 is a lucky number. So the Dr. Tshuva quotes this to Pharisee, he makes fun of him, he said, it's not 18 minutes, that's not correct. How much is it? He's not sure whether it's 6 minutes or 8 minutes. Okay, so we're machmen 6 minutes. Okay, so there are two kinds of kovish. There's kovish, b'choy mitzvah v'tzira, 6 minutes, 18 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, so we're machmen for 6 minutes. And then you have kovish, no dabba chorif. So kovish in plain water, or plain milk, is 24 hours. So the shayla is, what's the vart of yakavish b'chay mitzvah v'tzir? Why is chay mitzvah v'tzir different? Because it's a dabba charif. That's how the shach says over here, chavav. The lechatchile, we're machmen because it's a dabba charif. So what if you have vinegar? Something is kavish b'chay mitzvah taka. Something is kavish b'chay mitzvah. So you say kavish kemavushal in less than 24 hours. So take a look, the mechaber, the first line in kufay. Isa Shanishram Hetam Aislais Bitsani Mikri Kabish Arikem Bushol Vimhu Kabish Bitochat Sir O Bitocha Chometz Mechaben Sifalov and Simakufei Sifalov. He says the two dinim of Kabish, that's a rush in Chulin. He says if it's Kabish Bitsainen, it has to be 24 hours. If it's Kabish Bechometz of its ear, Mishokadeshi Tinenu Al Ha'ur Viaska Laharsiach, okay, that is Kemabushol. Even though it's only 6 minutes, it's not 24 hours. So there's a long shach there. There's a long shach, sivkot and base. On that line in the Mechaber, the Mechaber said kavish bechaymetz in vinegar. So the shach says we don't paskin like that. And the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Pesach also quotes the shach halacha lemaise. We don't paskin like that. That the Mechaber, we don't paskin like the Mechaber. Mechaber goes with the shita that kavish bechaymetz of itzir because he's dealing with a dove charif because it's such a sharp thing. We have sometimes dinam of dava charif. Let's say I cook, I have a tray for pot that's ain't a ben yomo, and I cook a dava charif in it, a liquid, a dava charif in it. So we have a chumer that the din of ain't a ben yomo doesn't apply if you're cooking now a dava charif. Because churfe mechal yalei deshvach, when the tray for blia comes into the vinegar, so it's not going to be poigimit, it'll still be nosen tam deshvach, won't make a nosen tam agam. So there is a concept of dava charif. If you have dava charif, there's a blia b'tzoynen. If you have duch kid a sakina with a dava charif, everybody knows if you cut an onion with a fleshy knife or a milchig knife, they just made a fleshy, even though it's tzoynen, and there's no blia b'tzoynen, and even though it should really be not banat, we're machmer also, usually we learned not banat, no. If you have a fleshy knife, because I cut burning hot flesh with this, then I take the knife and I cut an onion, so it's nice and tam, bar nice and tam, and the onion, nothing happened yet. Now I'm going to take the onion and mix it in with some butter. So it should be not banat de hetera. It should be mutter. So Rashi has one day, we're choshish for that day, that since the onion is a dava charif, so the kula of not banat doesn't apply. The kula of ena ben yoma doesn't apply. So the Mechaber held that the kula of kovish, that you need kovish meis leis, doesn't apply whenever the thing is kovish and a dava charif. And the shach says wrong. He says, we don't accept that mechaber. It's only maliach kiraseach. If you have kovish in tzir, tzir means that I salted fish or I salted flesh, and the juices that are coming out, or the dam that's coming out, has a lot of salt mixed in. So there's a din of maliach kiraseach. Let's say you're salting kosher flesh with non-kosher flesh, and a kosher fish with non-kosher fish, everything all together, one on top of the other. So if it sits long enough, so it makes a treif. The kosher fish makes the treif of fish will make the kosher fish treif when they're touching. It is a din of kavush, the tzir, if the tzir is salty. But if it's vinegar, the vinegar doesn't have any salt in it. Dava charif is one din, and maliach is a different din. That's what the shach taina. So mikra din, shach doesn't hold from this mechaber. So that's, but the shach admits that there is such a shita. That's the mechaber shita. So the shach writes in Chavov, this Ramah in Pei Zayin Sif Yud, the Ramah says l'chatchile ein l'anicha b'keiva ad shi'istanin, because the cholov shebekeiva is chomutz, it's charif, it's very sharp. No one put in any salt, but it's very sharp, and there is an opinion, the Mechaber Paskens like that opinion, that you say kovush in 6 minutes whenever the thing is a davar chorav. So the Rambam says l'chatchili b'shi b'choshish. Avol b'riyebed, the Rambam writes, ain lochush, unless it's really kovush 24 hours, unless it's going to be moliach. So the Shach says, yeah, you know why ain lochush? Because there's no moliach over here. There is no such thing of kovush the davar chorav. Davar chorav is a din yemachma, not banat. Davar chorav is a din yemachma, ain a binyoma. Davar chorav yemachma, there's a bliya b'tzainin, b'tzir v'duch k'tisakinah. But there is no such thing. The davar chorav makes kovush in less than 24 hours. You still need 24 hours. So that's the Shach Nechavav and Simon Peizayin, Siv Kat Nechavav. He says, this l'chatchila with the Ramos to be choshish for that opinion. There's an opinion in Rishonim, like the Mechaber wrote in Simon Kufay, Siv Fala.
Shach himself would be making l'chatchila?
I don't think so. I don't know. Got to take a look again at Kufay. I think that maybe the Shach is only Mata B'Dievet. Because here it says l'chatchila with Machma for this. I think the Shach so cool is only B'Dievet. Think lechatchila or not? So that's chavav. That's a katan chavav. That's important. Then it's if katan chavzayin, the shach points out. If katan chavzayin, the shach points out. We are. The Gemara said that you only say maliach kereseach if it's so salty that it's ain anach machmas molchay. A lot of people, whatever they eat, whenever you give them any food, they always throw salt on. So this, a little bit of salt doesn't, it's not, adds a little flavoring to it. In order to say Malik, you have to have an awful lot of salt, that the Gemara says has to be Ein Anech Machmas Malcha. So we have chumers in Shulchan Aruch, we have machmer, even if it's slightly salted, we're ready machmer that it's Malik. Then the Shach says, normally we're machmer, that maliach kereseach is only if the maliach is sitting there for 6 minutes. The trefa fish with the kosher fish are touching each other, and I poured on so much salt that I can't eat the fish the way it is. It's so salty, and it's sitting there for at least 6 minutes. If it sits there for 1 minute, b'ikaret din, you don't say maliach kereseach. Has to be sitting there for a while, and we're machmer even as manmur. So the Shach says, but come on, over here, you're dealing with the basa b'chol of the rabbanim here, and b'ikaret din. The cholop hatzolol shebekeva mikarad din the mechaber paskin like the Rif and the Rambam. Even the cholop hatzolol shebekeva is dina kipir shebialma. So we're talking about chumras here. So he says nish mechuyev to pile up so many chumras, even though it's nechamach mesmochan, even though it's only it's not sitting there for 6 minutes for a short period of time, and the whole thing is pir shebialma mikarad din. So there's a limit how many chumras you have to add on. So he says in this case it's obvious from the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah doesn't say over here that we machmer even if it's less than 6 minutes, and you machmer even if it is nechal machmas mocha. Has to be takarili moliach. Then you begin to think of chumra. This is always a discussion in Shulchan Aruch and in Paskim. The Ramah says in one siman we machmer that. You put together all the chumras. Does that make sense? How many chumras are you supposed to put together? So that's what the Paskim, that's the topic of this Shach of Zayin is. How many chumras is the limit? How much does it make sense? I remember when I first started working for the OU in Kashrus, about over 20 years ago, I think. So the first couple of months that I used to come in on every Friday, most of the discussions would be about how many chumras we have to pile up on top of other chumras. In the very beginning, they really didn't have too many shilas that were really shilas of b'riyevet. Everything was as setting a policy. How many chumras does it make sense to pile up? You have davnei neza has such a lashon in one shuvah. Ein legabev chumras, ein legabev kol karchar b'chumras. To pile up chumras on top of chumras is too much. So that's what the shach limits in Chav Zayin. He says here you're only dealing with the din al basa b'chol of the rabbanon, and it's chol of korish mikra din. It's really mutter. Because with Mikra Din, we really hold like the Rif and the Ram. Even Tzolol is Pirush Biyam. So he's not Mechuyif to add on all the Chumas over here. Then the Shach of Tes is very important. Here it says, there were different opinions. When do you treat the cholov shebekeva as pirsha? When not? So if the cholov should be keva has a blia from the flesh of the keva because of kavish kemavushal, it was sitting in the keva for 24 hours, or it was maliach kereseach. So this, everyone agrees, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to use a spoonful of that cholov of the keva to be mamid gvinus. But the Mechaba holds that Solol is Pirsha B'Yalma, and the Ramah holds that Kavish is Pirsha B'Yalma. Why did they say l'chatchila you shouldn't do it? It was Pirsha B'Yalma, so what's the problem? So he says, no, the cholov shebikeva is Pirsha B'Yalma. But the tam of the flesh is not Pirsha B'Yalma. Tam of the flesh is going to be nivla into the Pirsha, going to be nivla into the Pirsha, and then I'm going to take a spoonful of this Pirsha and throw it into a big vat full of milk, and that fleshig enzyme, that enzyme which is considered fleshig, is gonna make everything into cheese. So he says, just because the cholov shebikeva is pirsha, doesn't necessarily mean that the fleshig tam that goes into it becomes pirsha. Let's say a moshal ma'adav adoyma. I cook chazer in a pot, so there's a bli of treifus in the pot. You can't eat the pot. The pot is metal. You can't eat the pot. The pot is klicha. You can't eat the pot. So why don't you just say the tam habalu on the pot becomes a pirsha? We say no, it has to sit for 24 hours. So the charsa sakdera work on it until it's pugimit after 24 hours. Less than 24 hours also. But the tam is bulu into the derf nagdera. The derf nagdera is inedible. So why don't you say that the tam is inedible? So you don't say it like that. It's not true. The tam is edible. So l'chatchila, when machmer the shach says in chav tes, ein chilek bein karish litzol. Why hadn't lechatchila I've got the mutter? Even though the cholav hakarush or the cholav atzolul is dinik pirsha, but here we're worried about the tam of the flesh that's nivla into it. So lechatchila we choishes that the tam habasa that enters into the cholav shebetoch hakeva does not become pirsha. B'di'eved, the Rama writes a few lines later. B'di'eved, we would be mekel. So the Bir Agro writes in Chav Zayin, why? Why you make a b'di'evit? Because the first line of Chav Zayin, the tam hayotzem and abasa nasa perish kishinivla bekeva. When you have a tam of chazer that gets bolu into the derf nakdeiro, the tam of the chazer doesn't become nois and tamagam, doesn't turn into pirsha until 24 hours. The chazak there works on it. You don't say right away it becomes pirsha. It's not true. The walls are a container. The walls of the kli are a container. It doesn't. But over here, if you have a tam of the flesh gets enters into aide kovish kamavushal, aide malich kiresech, the tam of the flesh of the keva enters into the cholov shebetoch hakeva, so the cholov shebekeva is pirsha. So the whole thing becomes pirsha. So b'di'evit, that's how we pass them. B'di'evit, we pass them like that. That's the shachan lamed aleph. The Bira Gro writes the Chav Zayin, the first two lines. Tam ayetzam and abas and nasa perish kishenivla bekeva. Period. The Shach Lamed Aleph says that the Levush wrote that the reason why it's mutter over here b'di'evit, the reason why the Ramos make it b'di'evit is because not by not. So he says, yeah, that's the Levush. He misunderstood. The Siosif wrote something like not by not, but it's better. So the Levush misunderstood. Every other page is going to bop the Levush over the head. He says he misunderstood this, he misunderstood that. Tamua here. I just saw over here. Pay test at cut and base. He quotes a Levush and he ends off with Dvar of Temuim. Absolutely misquotation. On every other page, he's going to have something to say about some Levush or another. So he says, over here, it's totally incorrect. He says, the Levush misread the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef didn't mean to say, has nothing to do with not by not over here. The reason why it's mutter is like the Bir Agro wrote on Chav Zayin. When the Tam of the Basar enters into the Cholav Shebekeva, since the Cholav Shebekeva is Pirusha, so the Tam of Basar becomes Pirusha. The Shach doesn't explain it well. The Bir Agro, the first line, explains it better than the Shach. The Shach just writes it b'kitzur. Hacha Shaini Denka in Lamed Aleph about the fifth line. Hacha Shaini Dein Koyach Betam Shekibol Perish Zemin Ha'or Likshayis Chabracha Kechim Cholov Gomish Memena Nasag Mina Sheelachim Betam Basim. Such a long sentence. What he means to say is what the Bir Agro wrote in Chav Zayin. That tam habasa shenivla beperish becomes perished. Tam of chazer that's in the doif nehakder doesn't become pirsha automatically, unless it sits for 24 hours. But tam habasa shenivla beperish becomes perished. That's what b'di'evid we pass like that. L'chatchila, the Shach writes in Chavtes, we treat the pirsha, we treat it as if it's tam that's balu into a kli. So So the kli is inedible, but the tam shebo is still considered roi lachila. So here also, we say the tam of the basar shel hakeva that's nivla into the chol of shebe keva. The basar, the tam habasar retains its tam. The chol of shebe keva is pirsha, but the tam habasar remains tam. This lachatchila we treat it the same as a treif of blin and dof lakli. But by the Yevid, the Ramos make a why? Because it's not so. The tam of food that's nivla into pirsha, so the tam of the food becomes pirsha. Everything becomes pirsha. Here, the big shach over here is lamed. The big shach is lamed. The shach asks a murderous kasha, and he gives two answers. One answer in the text, and one answer in the parentheses. So the parentheses we understand. The teretz and the parentheses we understand. Rabbi Kivega picks up on it, and then he discusses it. The answer before the parentheses in the original text that we got to break our heads on. So maybe we'll be tomorrow. We'll start from the shach, the lamed, the cut lamed.